Yeah, Raymond's going to get into a really exciting teaching and forgiveness and bitterness, I think, getting to the root. And, you know, please, I think you all will be like this. Don't go, oh, I've covered this for 100 years, if you're 100. And I don't need to hear anything because it's just, you know, this is the Sunday school patch. I was just saying this morning, someone I really thought I'd forgiven, and I have to keep it very vague, but I was having issues going to work in the car, and I sort of had the sense to say why, after I was really starting to get uptight about it. Now, it's not the person I shared with Ian once, by the way. And I was really like, wow. And frankly, it's because I'm now back here living and I have to be with that person the whole time around. And I could kind of, you know, pray in tongues or whatever, and it's a wonderful weapon, and get myself. And I went really deep and I thought, I've totally forgiven them. And I was starting to think like an orphan again here with that person, you know, and because they've been an authority over me, and I'm just realising they don't know where I'm at, but that doesn't matter. But I really, I'm just, again, having to deal with some forgiveness there. And I hope that makes sense. I really, really did do a great forgiveness journey. So allow the Holy Spirit to, I won't call it a Sunday school class, to minister in this foundational class. And it's amazing, the breakthrough. In China, they don't even teach it in many of the churches. And so, are you going to share some of that stuff? Okay, it's just, you wouldn't believe how basic it is, and yet how hard it is. Yeah, how good it is. Amen. Oh, and then we've got another anointed person. I will be doing a bit of teaching later on. But, you know, well.
So as we get ready to have this session today, Mom and Dad will be speaking. I have assignments at university, so I'll be in the back and come and minister and stuff when God tells me to. But if we can really just keep open hearts about this, because God is speaking. But it's up to us whether or not we want to, first of all, listen to what it is he's even saying, and secondly, act on that. So it's like God's arms are open wide, like it was saying in the song, "O Come to the Altar." But it's up to us to step into that embrace. And also, once you do, once you give it to God, sometimes you think, like, no, this makes me who I am, and you hold on to this, like, they don't deserve to be forgiven, or that kind of thing. That's a victory for the enemy every time we do that. And it's a victory for the kingdom every time we give our hearts over to God, and every time we say, God, I choose to forgive them like you've forgiven me. I just give you all of that right now. And then it's really cool because the worship time was like a journey today, because first we were going to the altar and we were being embraced by the Father's love, and we were accepting forgiveness and we were giving forgiveness, and then we soar on wings like eagles because we're just so full of his power we can't stay down here anymore. We have to be lifted up and fly above all of our troubles, and the enemy's on the ground like, you have no power over me now. So let's just really have open minds and open hearts, and feel free to do whatever it takes, if that's to just grab a tissue and sob into it. None of us here are going to judge you, and if anyone does judge you, forgive them. But it's about you and God today, and that's all I want to say.
Thanks, sister. So please excuse me just being down and back doing your assignments most of the time. So good morning, everyone. Isn't it an amazing atmosphere here? There's so many angels this morning. I don't know how many of you can see them. Just seeing you dancing with the angels and doing all this stuff. I don't know if you were aware of it in the heavenly realms, but it was really cool. So it was funny because we walked in and Anna and I were like, I was looking around going, so many worship angels, this is awesome. Yeah. And then I said to Anna, are there any warrior angels? Because like, I thought it would be really good to have some warrior angels for today, apart from the ones I carry. And so all of a sudden they stepped forward. They're just in the background right now. So it was really cool. It is so much fun being in the Lord's presence and just walking, flowing in what he's doing. So first of all, who was here, who wasn't here last night with you? Okay, not too many. But last night we just talked about how awesome God is and that he loves us so much. And I know a lot of people are used to hearing us talk on the supernatural, and a lot of us are wanting to flow in that. But the Lord obviously meets us where we are, but to flow in it really well, we need to know who he is and who we are, and to be healed. Because I know one lady who, when she was on our prayer ministry team for a while in China, she was very prophetic, but every word she had just a little hook in it. And it was like, you know, if you see a dead eagle, you don't say, I see you as a dead eagle. You say, the Lord wants to raise you up, right? So we're not teaching on prophecy today, we can. But there was just this little hook there because there was bitterness in her heart. And then a few years later, she really got healed by the Lord and touched. And it was just so good to see that healing. So it makes a huge difference when we're walking with whole hearts. And for so many of us, we've been hurt. And you look at a cute little kid. There was a little kid here today. Last night, I don't know that they are. So anyway, they look peaceful, innocent. We use the word naive, which I think is a sad word to use, but because that's what we should all be like. That the Lord wants us to be childlike, not childish. Sometimes we're childish, but he wants us to be childlike and to just have that open, forgiving heart. And unfortunately, so many of us have learnt to cover up, to close our hearts off because of things that have happened. And we need to learn not to do that. So if you have little kids or little grandkids, it's really important to know there's no junior Holy Spirit. And they can fully have God. If you go to Bethel, those who know what they're doing and they want ministry, prophetic or healing or whatever, they will call for the three-year-old prayer team because they are actually the best in the church, because they are old enough to speak, they see clearly, and they don't filter. And they don't have bitterness in their heart. And so they are known to be like, whoa, this is awesome. So don't discount what little kids can see. And, you know, when kids say, there's a monster under the bed, don't go, no, there isn't. Go, oh, really? Well, let's tell it to go away in Jesus' name. Because they're often seeing stuff that you aren't. And if they're only ever seeing monsters, then you need to deal with some generational stuff because they're seeing through the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. Right. So, how did I get there? I just love talking about this sort of stuff. Oh, yes, I know. So what I was going to talk about is this kid. I was working with a mum who had major anger problems in China, and her son was four, and that's why she came to me. He was so violent and so angry. And it was partly generational, but it was also a matter of teaching. And so I said to her, you know, every night before he goes to bed, when you're putting him to bed, say, has anyone hurt you today? Like, what was the hardest thing that happened to you today? And then teach him how to walk through to forgiveness. So some of us as Christians think that forgiveness, oh, that didn't hurt me, I'm not worried about it. We don't actually address the issue. We don't say, you know what, that really hurt me. It wasn't okay, but I'm choosing to forgive. So I taught her how to walk through that with her son. And then I said, then you need to do the three most positive things in this day. right? So that he goes to bed thinking about the positive things. And if she ever forgot, he would be saying, Mummy, you haven't asked me who I'm angry at. And he gradually learned to walk healed, and he started to not have anger issues because she was dealing with the generational stuff as well. So we can work with our kids to teach them how to not carry offence. And my girls do an awesome job at that. We're still all in process, but if it's just what you do, that's what the Bible says, right? Don't let the sun go down today without dealing with today's issues, because tomorrow there's other things that are going to come up. And I was dealing with a lady in China with a challenging marriage, and she said, I just don't forgive my husband, I don't forgive him. And I'm like, okay, so how many times a day do you, like, decide this? She said, oh, 2 or 3 or sometimes 10 times a day I decide not to forgive my husband. And I said, and how long are you wanting to be married? And she's like, well, forever, I'm a Christian. I said, okay, well, you're going about it really the wrong way. Because every time you say, I'm not going to forgive my husband, A, you're hardening your heart, which is really not good. But B, you're putting down one brick. And it doesn't seem much, right? But if you're putting down 10 bricks a day and building this wall, it gets higher and higher. And it's really hard to break down. And you think, oh, it's only one thing, doesn't matter, it's not that important. But that's not what God says, because he knows, and he wants us to be walking in freedom, right? And if you have, this is the stress level where you explode or crash or whatever, it's different for different people, right? If you're walking here and you just go, it's really easy to explode. It's really easy to get depressed or whatever your particular thing is, to pull away for days, however it is you hide and cope with things. So what we want to do is bring our base stress level right down, so that when there's a little glitch, it's a long way from explosion, right? Now for us, we've really noticed we try and walk like that all the time. We often fail, and so we go straight to the courtroom and say, we're sorry, Lord, we repent for our sin. But being back in New Zealand, we've noticed, because we've got all this cross-cultural extra stress, that our stress levels have gone up. So it's really interesting, and it's okay to be aware of that and to have extra grace for yourself, right? So we go through seasons and times, and if you're out of season, like say you're a young mum with 3 kids under 4, and you're trying to get up really early in the morning and have quiet times and stuff, you need to ask yourself, if you're absolutely exhausted, is that what the Lord's saying, or am I putting expectations on myself? But he doesn't, because it says he gently brings those who are with young. And there's times and seasons in our lives, we don't have to carry the same expectations from season to season. So I feel like the Lord's saying with some of you that you're still carrying heavy burdens from other seasons that you shouldn't be. And so we can always ask him about putting that down, and what things has he got for you right now? Because this is a fairly amazing season to be alive in. So we want to make the most of it. Okay, so we also have a lot of cloud of witnesses here today. I don't know how much you know about the cloud of witnesses, but there's an arena opened up around here. And so when we're going to talk about this, some of you have issues with previous generations, or maybe your family line has always done things a certain way. Believe me, when they get to heaven, they regret it, and they wish they could tell you. Okay? One of the tricky things about heaven that I don't enjoy is that when you walk towards someone, your heart goes out to them. And that can be great, but if you've got anything in your heart that you didn't even know about, that you were holding against them, it comes out. Now, on Earth, we're used to going, oh, these signs are remembering. And then, hi! changing our attitude, oh, I need to forgive them. But in heaven, it's like, it's out there. And so we really need to be dealing with issues, because in the spirit realm, it's still the forgiveness, the unforgiveness can be felt. So when you feel someone's got a wall up against you, then often they have, right? And so it's really a key thing to deal with our hearts, because so many of us have been taught to put on a smiley face and we've never actually dealt with the pain underneath. One lady I was working with in China, she decided not to work through stuff because too much pain from the Cultural Revolution and other things, but she just really felt she couldn't be a Christian anymore. So I asked her why, and she said, because I'm really angry and Christians have to be happy. And I said, no, that's not actually true. God wants to take away your pain. So the fact the pain is coming up, he can deal with it. But so many of us hide in shame and think, well, no one else has this issue. You know, you ask someone, how's your week? Oh, great, yeah, yeah. And you're thinking, oh, no, am I the only one who has struggles in my life? And we can learn to walk in victory. So the more healed we are, the less struggles we have. So, but it is a challenging thing. So for many of us, there are layers of forgiveness. There are different things going on. I'm talking today about bitterness and unforgiveness, because a lot of us don't think that it's that important. And it says in Ephesians that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. And we always forget this. We always think it's all my boss's fault, right? It's my boss, it's my father, it's my brother. If I could just live on a desert island, I'd be fine. How many times have we said that, especially introverts like me? Just me and the Lord, it'd be awesome. Yeah. But he's put us in community. He sets the isolated, the lonely in families. And so we need to make sure as a church that we are welcoming people in, that there's always place for people. But the wrestling against, not against flesh and blood, right? So we have to remember that it's not the person that we're reacting against. But one of the things God says is, do not allow a root of bitterness into your heart. And I always used to think, well, that's all very well to say, but I don't even know what a root of bitterness is. Don't know whether I have one. How do I know? If you welcome a root of bitterness, then it says you will have all kinds of trouble, right? And I'm sure we've all met people who are angry with the world, who have an entitlement mentality, who anything that happens, it's just terrible, and it's all because they've allowed a root of bitterness. But we're all in danger of doing that. So I just want to talk through bitterness as a principality and the seven spirits underneath it that reinforce it, and show you how easy it is to walk into a root of bitterness, and how it's not really a good idea at all, because God's always right. They've even found now that I can't remember what percentage, but a lot of diseases are caused by unforgiveness and anger and resentment. So if you deal with this, you can walk in a lot less stress and a lot more healing. So Hebrews says, look diligently, lest any of you fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up to trouble you and causes many other people to be defiled. So if you've been around a bitter person, they're on the wrong frequency. They're not on heaven's love frequency. They're always, oh, this went wrong and it was horrible, and they're letting curses come out their mouth. We don't want to be that person. And sometimes, as a non-Christian person, they're more free to say what they think, but us as Christians, we couch it in nicer words, right, sometimes, but it's still the same thing under the surface. So, the first step to bitterness, the least step, is unforgiveness. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13, don't keep a record of wrongs. If you're loving, don't keep a record of wrongs. Very tricky it's once you get into the habit, it's an easy way to live. But like if John does something, I know he's perfect in many ways, but not totally perfect. So if he does something to upset me, I know that I have a problem. If instead of saying, "Darling, this really upset me," I say, "Last week you did this, and now today I have a problem," right? It is my problem, not his problem, because I'm carrying a list of wrongs. And if I dealt with last week, then probably I wouldn't have reacted to today. So we try to keep short accounts. We try to deal with things every day. So the first thing is unforgiveness, keeping a list of wrongs. So any time you have a list is more than one thing against someone, if you look at that person and you go, "Oh man, this, 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 and this. Oh no, Auntie Sally's coming to say da 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 da." Okay, we have a problem. That is the beginning of unforgiveness. Because sometimes we honestly don't know, and no one tells us. If you have a list, you're walking in unforgiveness. Alright? Next is resentment. We then look at the list, the record of wrongs, and we go, "You know what? That's just not reasonable what they did. It's not fair. I really resent that. Did they do that? I didn't mean that when I said that, and they assumed the wrong thing about me." And, you know, we start to go on this downward spiral of resentment. So it's not just thinking through the list in our mind, but it starts to get into our heart. I resent that person. I mean, you don't know why they did what they did. You could be totally innocent, and that logic starts to go out the window. So we start to head into a problem. We have bitterness, we have unforgiveness and resentment. At this point, it's still easy for someone to say to you, "Well, you know what? They were just having a really bad day. I heard they'd just seen a car accident on their way there." And you go, "Oh, okay." But it continues if we allow it. Retaliation is not just keeping the list and resenting what's on the list. It's saying, "I want to get even." Right? What they did was so bad that I deserve some repayment for this. It's just not acceptable behaviour. And, of course, we conveniently forget that all of us need forgiveness. Right? So resentment simmers away. We lie in bed at night thinking of, "Oh, if I could just do this." Or we rethink conversations and make them really cutting remarks that are clever jokes, right? Because we're nice Christians. So we have this nice cutting joke, ha ha ha, and it's not funny at all. It's retaliation, it's attack. After retaliation comes in, if we let that come, then the emotions start to build. Anger is the next step. And if we allow anger, it starts to build up. And I don't know how much you know about the spirit realm, but for any of you who have anger problems, which I know there will be many of you who have or have had, when you get angry, there comes a point where people say they lose control. Right? That's when the demonic comes in. So if we want to be carriers of the presence of God, and if we're walking in unrighteous anger, then we're steering away the godly stuff and welcoming in the demonic. So for some people, they will have the demonic hovering back there. I don't know if it's okay to talk about in New Zealand, wherever I am. Sorry, I'm actually so then coming, they'll come closer. And for some people, generationally, they're really close. And for other people, they've been welcomed in. So even when they're born, they already have a spirit of anger because it's been so ingrained in their family life. So they change frequency. They're letting off demonic signals of, "I'm choosing to walk the wrong way." And the enemy goes, "Good." It says in the word, "Do not give the enemy a platform to stand on." Well, this is one way you do it. You say, "I'm choosing to be angry about this." And you're already several steps down the process, right? Because God says, "Don't keep a list, you've already been keeping a list. Don't resent, assume the best of people," right? Certainly don't retaliate. He says, "Vengeance is mine." You know, God knows everything that went on, the reason why that person's like they are, and he has compassion for them. But he doesn't just let us get away with sin, right? There is a penalty for sin, but thankfully, Jesus has paid it. So it depends whether we come to him or not. So we don't want to be walking in sin. The next step from anger is hatred. Hatred says, because I remember I've made a list of everything you've done against me, I've really been thinking about it, I resent it, I'm going to get even with you. I'm going to get really angry and keep thinking about this. I hate you and I don't even want you to exist. I don't want to be you to be in the same room as me. I don't want anything to do with you. Okay? So there's not room on this planet for you and me to be in the same place at the same time. Just stay away from me. And it starts to develop into elimination modality. Okay? So the next step, if we keep going that way, by now it's really logical to us. Like if you talk to someone about, you can choose a topic, all sorts of things, they will just absolutely stir up. And they're absolutely convinced that they have a right to feel like this, right? If you read stuff comments sometimes, it's like, whatever. So, after hatred, there's violence. Violence says, you know what, I want to eliminate you, but it's not enough that I just wipe you out. I want you to feel pain, because you've caused me pain, I'm going to get you back, and I'm going to get you back good, and I want you to suffer, alright? And many of us have had that attitude towards different people. You're going to know that I hate you. Like, I don't just want to quietly hate you. I want you to know. So the final stage is murder. So I'll just deal with this broadly and then I'll go into specifics. As Christians, we often don't murder. Hopefully, mostly don't murder. people we hate, but we may do it as character assassination. We can do it as gossip, as slander, and our tongues have the power to bring life and death. We don't realise that by saying about somebody, we're actually cursing them. Now, the only reason you should be talking negatively about someone if you're an adult is if you are in authority over them and you're trying to find a solution, right? Or if they're abusing other people and they need to sort something out. So generally speaking, we just need to deal with it ourselves. And sometimes we need help of a counsellor or whatever. But we don't have to stay in a situation and keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and allowing ourselves to be abused. That's not okay. But talking about the murder side, I've dealt with several people who have almost murdered, usually their spouses, but... And it's actually not funny. We speak, you know, I'd really like to kill him, and it's not alright because the demonic world goes over it. Yep. And nowadays with people will play a game and they'll kill 50 people in an hour and go, oh yeah, that, no big deal, but they're being primed that killing's no big deal. Oh yeah. And so then when there's an opportunity, they follow through on it. Just why we're getting so much violence and murder, because they've already done it. They've already done it in their mind's eye over and over again, and they've become desensitised. So we don't want to be doing that. But people lie in bed at night thinking of what they'd like to do to someone if they had the guts. Honestly, I can tell you as a counsellor, the reason there's not more murder is that people are afraid they'll be found out. Right? If they could think of a false... A way that they would not be caught, there would be a lot more murders, right? So for sure. And so murder is, we think, oh yeah, all I'm doing is not forgiving my husband, right? But no, God knows, and he says it's much easier to deal with when it's one little thing than when you've let it grow really big. And so it's a bit of a wake-up call, because sometimes we think God's been like over particular about things, but there's a reason. So the other thing with murder, some people don't think about murder, they think about suicide. Well, I'll show them, they'll regret it. I'll show them that I've hurt, and they don't have the guts to murder someone, which is a good thing. I'm not saying you should try and get some. But they decide I'll punish them by suicide. right? Or the other thing is, and this is a common thing talking about forgiveness, that we absolutely hate ourselves. We are kind to everyone else, but we haven't forgiven ourselves, and we say, you deserve to die, you're such a scumbag. We send ourselves all these ungodly messages, and that's why there's so many certain diseases, literally, or autoimmune diseases, generally speaking, are when we curse ourselves. We haven't got our spirit, soul, body lined up, and we're cursing ourselves. So I don't know anybody here, so I can say that if you have an autoimmune disease, just ask the Lord. But they've shown statistically, they have shown, oh really, statistically, sorry, they've shown statistically that that's usually what it is, that the body starts to attack itself, and that's not normal. And so sometimes it's self-hatred or self-loathing or whatever it is. So it's not just us blaming other people. We can say, oh, I can never forgive myself for that. Well, God has forgiven you. If you choose to go and appropriate that forgiveness, you can be totally set free. You know, you see people in situations and it's just really hard for them to ever forgive themselves and move on from traumas and things. I can do a whole lot on trauma, but it's not our topic. So if you have been in a trauma, it needs to be dealt with within 72 hours. There's a brilliant trauma prayer online, which you should listen to numerous times to help get the trauma out, because within 72 hours, if you haven't dealt with it, it either goes to your emotions or your body and stores there. And if you have layers of traumas, it will affect you, right? Either emotionally or physically at some point in the future, unless you've allowed God to deal with it.
What's
the prayer? The trauma prayer is by Jim and Kat Banks.
Oh, yes.
It's called the trauma prayer.
Yeah.
So, keep, and also, sorry Lord, I didn't know I was going to do this. I just have to. He's just saying go for it. I'm trying not to, but he's saying go for it. So, when you have a trauma, like let's say you're in a car accident, there's a moment where you go, that your spirit opens up. And just in that split second, there's a whole lot of stuff that can come in, and that will affect people forever. Like they will say, I've never been the same since that car accident, and or whatever. And it's really, it seems crazy, they can't understand it, but that's why. Because trauma came in. I'll just quickly see if I can find my list. Let's go through the list. Wise, we have trauma, we have fear. So it can be fear of death, fear of accident, fear of rejection. What else, you know? Infirmity often comes in, spirit of infirmity. I'm trying to think of all the different things. Let's have a look. So when we do experience trauma, it is really key that we get someone to deal with, to break it off us. Insecurity, I'm trying to think. I'll have to. Can you look for me, Anna? It should be when the prof gave him, so last May. So it's a real key for us to realise that things like trauma can be an entry point into our lives that allows the enemy in if we don't deal with it properly. So it's important to stop and go, all right, I'm going to deal with this. Is there someone you need to forgive? And we had Steve Long say, was senior pastor at large or something at Toronto. When he was teaching us, he shared the story of a guy. He did this healing meeting and he was saying that healing is 100%. It should always be happening, right? 100%. And there's always reasons why it doesn't. So he asked for everyone who'd had an accident and still had injury to stand up. They all stood up. And then he said, right, sit down if it was in the last 5 years. And he gradually went up until he found this guy who it was 50 years earlier. And he was the last one standing, right? 50 years. Except he wasn't standing because he was in a wheelchair. And so he called him up and he talked with him about it and said, you know, what happened to you? And the guy said, well, my best friend and I were doing this job when I was 17, and my best friend, he wasn't his best friend anymore, cut the tree down and broke my back, and I've never been able to walk since. And it's wrecked my whole life, and da 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 da. And so Steve said, well, is the guy still with his friend now? And he's like, are you crazy? No way! I haven't talked to him for decades. I haven't talked to him for decades, and there's no way that I would. He's laughing, I wonder I didn't find it. There's no way at all that I would forgive him. I don't want anything to do with him. I've told him I hate him. And you can imagine that guy. I mean, breaking your best friend's back would be traumatic, but then to be cursed and ongoingly cursed. And so he said, I've been in pain, I haven't been able to walk, etc. So Steve said, so you're in your 70s now, and I presume your friend is too, right? He said, yep. So you're both going to die and get to heaven. Yep, don't know if I want to go to heaven, but yep. So then, do you want to forgive him before you die? Like, do you think it would be nice just to forgive him this once? And so the guy went, he deserves, I'm just so mad with him, he's wrecked my life, blah, blah, blah. And Steve said, do you choose to forgive him? And he said, yes. And he stood up immediately and was fully healed. And everyone was clapping and cheering, go God! And then everyone was going, oh my goodness. And his daughter was there, who was in her 50s. And she had had a crippled father her whole life. Because he'd chosen not to forgive. And everyone started crying. And they were like, we forgive whatever it is that's in our hearts. We choose to forgive because we don't want to be carrying stuff. And that was just so obvious because it was physical in his case. But for many of us, we're so crippled in our hearts because of something that happened when we're really young. And the list is shock, trauma, fear, grief, the fear of lots of things, illness, death, suicide, abortion, murder, hopelessness, despair, anger, and poverty. And so those things come in that split second.
Can you talk a bit slower, please?
Shock, trauma, fear, and that's fear of death, fear of illness, fear of accident, fear of the corner that you were on when it happened or whatever. Grief, fear of men, illness, death, suicide, abortion, murder, hopelessness, my life will never be the same again, I can't get past this, despair, anger, and poverty. So it's good just to break those off your life or anyone you know when they have had a trauma happen. And these things are really crucial to walking into forgiveness. So we think, all I did was I didn't forgive my husband today, I was a bit busy. But it just starts to happen. And over time it becomes a habit. And I'm really surprised because I'll find that I have to repent and forgive for things like I went to the grocery store and the person was grumpy with me. And I go, oops, sorry Lord. I choose to not get affected because you know what? I am the only one responsible for the atmosphere I carry.
Yeah, yeah.
And so many of us are blaming our parents, blaming our boss, blaming whatever. But you can bounce through life with God's help, not needing to be under anything, under the circumstances, under the weather. We are meant to be seated above all those things in heavenly places. So what are you seeing, Anna? I know, I can tell. What's it doing? That's awesome. Alrighty. So it's really key that we choose to walk in forgiveness. And hopefully that'll help you see why. So what you can do, which sounds counterintuitive. We're going to go through and do a generational breaking off in a minute, all together. But what you can do, and you should do, in fact, we always give this as homework to our DTS students, is that you make a list. Ask the Lord, Lord, who is it that I need to forgive? And make a list. Now, for some people, he'll only tell you one person, because if he gave you everyone, you would be overwhelmed, right? So, if he gives you one person, it might be the easiest person, or it might be the hardest person. He works differently with each of us. Like, some people couldn't possibly bear to forgive this person, but if they forgive all these little ones, then they see the difference it makes, right? So, it sounds counterintuitive, but write down the list. It's already in your head and your heart anyway. And then you, when we've gone through this forgiveness thing, you've already decided you're going to forgive. So you specifically come before the Lord. Even if the person is dead, there are so many people saying, oh, but they died 50 years ago, I shouldn't feel like this. Forget saying, I shouldn't feel like this. If you feel like this, you feel like this. Right? So just go before the Lord and deal with it. So you have a list of all the person's wrongs that you think are wrongs, because often we misinterpret what really happened anyway, and all the costs to you. And for some people, the costs are huge, right? Really huge. And then you bring those to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is all the things that I've had against this person, and you read them out, and you say, I am now choosing to forgive this person in Jesus' name for this thing. I am now choosing to forgive them for this thing, even though it caused any pain. I forgive them for the pain it caused. You go right down the list, and then you rip it up, and you throw it out. And so if you do that, like, as part of your quiet time for a month, maybe you won't need to do it for a month, but the next day I always say, okay, Lord, now I've forgiven this person, is there anything else I need to forgive? Because sometimes when we first start, we'll only remember the really huge things. He didn't turn up to my baseball game. Okay, wrong country. He didn't turn up to my soccer game when I was 10. Right? But then when we've forgiven that, we find, yeah, well, he never hugged me first. He always hugged my sister first, or whatever it is. So we just keep dealing with our heart until we love that person fully. And always ask for God's perspective on that person. So, if you keep doing that with person after person, it will make a huge difference, because every person you forgive lowers your stress level, right? And so that you will feel lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, so your stress level drops, and it's a lot more for you to hit that anger point or depression point or whatever it is that you suffer with. Many Christians will say, oh, I don't have an anger problem, but they do often have a tendency to get down and feel hopeless and nothing's going to change and all this. That's actually suppressed anger. So because we say, oh, I'm a good Christian, I shouldn't be angry, we keep pushing it down instead of dealing with it. So when you are walking into healing, I think I said this before, but for the same sake again, you will often feel horrible and worse because the Lord starts bringing things up. And you think, oh man, I'm just like scum of the earth. How can I have not forgiven this many people? So, just don't go there. Just say, okay, I'm dealing with it and I'm making progress. That's what we said last night. If you don't know where you are, you can't move forward. But there's lots of healing angels, there's warrior angels, there's joke angels. I know there's one right behind me. There's worship angels, right? They are all here to help us walk into the fullness of what God has for us. So, Lord, which way round are we doing? Are we having morning tea first and then praying? We're praying and then having morning tea? 20 minutes. Okay.
Is that all right?
Yes. Yeah, I think the two hardest people for us to even acknowledge we haven't forgiven is ourselves and God. Because especially as Christians, we feel like we shouldn't. And actually, it's not even logical. Like, I know I went through a lot of abuse and there was stuff I held in my heart against God because of it. But it wasn't stuff he'd really done, and I knew that, but it was just not feeling protected and things, and he understands that. So we just need to learn to deal with these things, and God can handle us telling him the truth. He already knows it anyway. So he'd much rather we said, "Father, I'm really struggling with this, please help me," than not dealing with it. So what I am not saying is that you should remain in a dangerous, abusive situation, particularly if you have kids. We're going to talk about the abuse cycle later. But I'm also not saying that forgiveness is the same as trust, right? So let's say you had an accountant who stole $10,000. You don't give them a million to manage. And even if they repent, that's obviously the point of weakness, right? So you don't want to put them into temptation either. So trust is not the same as forgiveness, and that you shouldn't stay in abusive situations.
Trust is earned.
Yes, trust is earned. And also, if here's another example. Sometimes we say, like, you go through this exercise with uncle or whoever, and you think, right, I've fully forgiven him now. And then later, like it's just happening with John, because now we're in country, something else comes up, you've already made a decision, I'm going to walk in forgiveness. But you don't, but you didn't know about it. Don't say, I've already forgiven that person. If it comes up and you're agitated, you need to deal with it. So look at it this way. If someone walked into my house when we're doing Airbnb, and I just break this off because the Lord just said I need to, but they walk into our house, pick up my purse, and take out $20, and I forgive them, right? Then that is, I have forgiven them. But if I later find that they also grabbed my Visa card and they put through all these other transactions that I didn't know about, my first forgiveness of the $20 doesn't actually help, right? If I realise a deeper level of, oh, okay, they took my Visa card, I can't say I forgive them for stealing, because it's a new revelation of what's going on, right? So, Anna, can you mind me not keep my hand there where I've been keeping it, please? Yeah, I just said I shouldn't be doing that. Thank you. So, it's really interesting when you're walking with the Lord to do these things and to walk into your forgiveness. So, does anyone have any questions quickly? Yes.
I've got a comment. You were saying about you've got to earn trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at trust and faith, sort of similar, that I find with God, that you've got to have faith, and that's not an earned trust. For people, it's an earned trust. And God, it's the opposite way.
Yeah.
You've got to actually have faith and first. And with people, you have faith after you have trust.
Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because, generally speaking, I try and assume the best of people, but I've had one or two people, especially as women, right? We walk up to this guy and we go, this person isn't safe. Do not discount them.
Yeah,
right? Now, so maybe you need healing, so I'll say to the Lord, Lord, is this something I need to deal with? But I will be careful. Okay? Yep.
You said that you pray for someone, you forgive someone, and
to
another person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible for someone who has abused you, that you love them?
It is. It doesn't mean you want to be anywhere near them, even in heaven, speaking from personal experience. you can. What you can do, it depends on the circumstance of what the person is in your life. If someone has abused you and hurt you very deeply, you do not have to put yourself into a trust situation. It's really important, especially where there are children involved. You don't go keep going back into an abusive situation. But what you can do is ask God to show you his heart for them, right? And so then you can have compassion. Now, I have a friend who works in the... Her ministry is to rescue people out of the red light district. And so she works in the red light district all the time. And a lot of people think that's awesome, that she's rescuing trafficked women and prostitutes and all the rest, abused children, etc. But they don't do so well when she says that she also works with the pimps and the madams and the
the brothel owners, right? Because that actually God sees their heart. And yeah, it's just amazing, some of the stories from people that I could not get sidetracked into telling you. I'm going to get on to the prayer. So, apparently some people need unity first. There's a lot of satellite messages going on to God. Okay, so yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to take a morning tea break. Thank you.